As you see on the board behind me, today's title of the lesson is Past, Present, and Future. And that's something a lot of times you get towards the end of December, the beginning of January, and everybody starts reflecting on the past year and on the new year and tries to examine what they've done, what they hope to do, how it went, and what they have facing them for the new year. All of us have a past. All of us have a present. Right now, we have the present. And the future is always before us. This morning, I think most of cold weather, we totally missed what they call Indian summer this year. It just went away. And we got up this morning and the sun was out. Birds were chirping. The weather was warm. And it was just an enjoyable day. And it just made all of us feel good. I think I've seen that in everybody's faces. Most of the kids seem healthy today. And we're not fighting all the sicknesses we've been doing. So at the present, we seem to be doing all right. The church is also based on this. The church that we are today, the Christians that we are today, is totally based on our past. One of the things that I find most interesting is history. I love being a child of history, a student of history. It started with some of the things that I've looked into over the past few years, the railroad book that I worked on, and it just keeps cascading. You know, Christians are probably, if they're doing their job as a Christian, are more involved with being a historian than anything else, because the people that they are today is based on history. We're going to be looking at 1 Chronicles 28, starting with verse 1 and 2, and I'm jumping here a little bit ahead. I know Nick sometimes waits back there just to make sure that our slides work, so I wanted to get that done. You might like to follow along if you have your Bibles, 1 Chronicles chapter 28. We're going to be reading through the whole thing today as we talk about past, present, and future. But one of the things that I wanted to do, and I've talked to Dad and I talked to some other people about just different ideas for today's lesson, I wanted a lesson that would encourage us, a lesson that shows what we've accomplished as a church. Maybe for those that have only been here a short time, you haven't had the legacy, I guess you could say, of this congregation. There's others here. Glendon and Edith have been here for pretty much the entire existence of this congregation in Waynesville. And so their legacy goes on much, much further. But at this moment, all of us will be somebody's past. I've talked about this before, and I actually heard it on a lesson I heard on the radio today. The speaker was talking about the very thing that I bring up often is about the links in the chain. Each one of us, we are fashioning our lives in links in a chain. That may be as a child, I'm to my mom and dad, I'm a link to their legacy, their chain. Their mother and father were links prior to me and so on. But as Christians, all of us are links in a chain that goes right back to God and to Christ. And going forward depends on what we do with the main thing, the present. Please follow along with me. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And as always, please, we're going to go back and look at some of the words that I underline here. So reading up on the board, 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Now David assembled at Jerusalem all the leaders of Israel, the officers of the tribes, of the captains, and of the divisions who served the king, the captains over thousands, the captains over hundreds, and stewards over all the substance and possessions of the king and his sons, with the officials, the valiant men, and all the mighty men of valor. King David rose to his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and had made preparations to build it." I'm not going to get into all the background of why David wasn't allowed to build this. The next passage we'll be looking at kind of touches on this. But David's future plans, he wanted to have a house for God, a representative place to celebrate God, the God that he loved so much, this protecting place. We talked about the tabernacle that the Jews or the Israelites carried around with them, this temporary tent that represented God, a place of gathering. David wanted a permanent place to celebrate God. So he was looking, as we talk about the past, present, and future, he was looking to the future, but at the present, he was ready to plan. He was ready to build. I want to jump over to this, and unfortunately I couldn't get all the details on there. But in Waynesville, in the past, somebody had an idea of a house for God. They had a plan for Christians to gather together, to do the Lord's work, to be prepared to the community, to edify one another, and to strengthen each other. Now, I want you to look up in there, very bottom left. This is the old building that we had, 95 3rd Street. It's now currently, as you see up there, status use code, single family dwelling. But that was the building that was built in 1955 for the congregation in Waynesville to meet to serve this local congregation, to serve the people of Waynesville, and primarily to be a place of building, a place of encouragement, where the church came together and went on and did things. Glendon and Edith were a part of this for many years. Many of you, especially the families and relatives of Glendon and Edith, have been a part of this for many years. I still feel like a newcomer, but I've been a part of this congregation for over 20 years now. And others of you are now part of it as well. So back at this time, when we're talking about past, present, and future, there was a present need back in 1955. The church had grown, and that this area did not have a Church of Christ. People wanted that to happen. The Thomases, the Grushons, and others wanted to make the investment on this congregation, and it grew. Many of you remember this building. It's still in town. Doesn't look like this anymore. But this is the place that we called our present home just not many years ago. Not even 3 years ago. This is where we are still meeting. It was a lot smaller back then, but it was a small building too. Continuing on in 1 Chronicles, as David goes on, "But God said to me, 'You shall not build a house for my name, because you have been a man of war and have shed blood. However, the Lord God of Israel chose me above all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he has chosen Judah to be the ruler, and the house of Judah and the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he was pleased with me to make me a king over all Israel. And all of my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons, he has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel.'" One of the things I was going to bring up in class today, we were talking about this. I came across another passage in working on this lesson, and it was talking about how the throne of Israel, the kingdom, the throne that was going to be set up because of David and because of Israel would never go away. And I thought it was interesting the way the language of that passage talked about. We see all these bad kings of Israel, and sometimes we assume that that plan never worked out, but it was always the throne that was important, that place of what God was going to look to man for. And we see, as we talked about in our Hebrew study today, in our review, that Christ would sit on that eventual spiritual throne of Israel forever. So continuing on, we take a few more looks there. Hopefully on that board you can see those pictures. They didn't show up so well on my screen here. But this is where we met. The space that you enjoy right now was not enjoyed just a few years ago. I know for almost the entire time I was a part of that congregation, my knees were usually sitting on the top of that pew in front of me because there was just not much space there. Now, we're going to laugh about some of these things, but the idea that I'm trying to present in all these pictures that I'm showing there is growth. And it's going to be the thing that we're going to focus on. It's going to be the thing that we conclude with in both lessons today. This building was structured. This building was planned. We talk about past, present, and future. In the past, in 1955, there was a need for the church in Waynesville. In the past, in 1955, there were not people that were aware of what we were trying to preach, the truth of the New Testament. And so people planned this building. And the present in 1955, they built just like we built this recently. That building, even though it's small there, was made for the needs of the people at that time. Continuing on, verses 6 through 8. "Now he said to me," still David talking, "'This is your son Solomon, who shall build my house and my courts? For I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever,'" and pay attention to this, "'forever if he is steadfast to observe my commandments and my judgments, as it is this day.'" Now we're going to jump back to the spiritual side of this, and this is very important. The physical is what we're going to be looking at a lot of these pictures today of what the church is, but that is not the church. This building is where we gather. This building is where we assemble. This building, and we're going to get to this in the second lesson, is what the world around us sees. But what is the church? The church is a spiritual entity. It is the bride of Christ. It is the saved of God. It is those that have been added to the kingdom because of obedience. And I've said this many times. It is the qualified individuals that live in this world who are adopting what God has asked them to do. But there's a caveat there. My commandments and my judgments need to be followed. Just as it was applied to Solomon and to David, that kingdom lasted only until they did not listen, specifically Solomon. Today, the church is only effective if we stay in Christ, in God. Continuing on, "Now therefore in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord and the hearing of our God, Be careful to seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God. This is David talking to Solomon before the people. He's telling them this is an important thing. You really got to pay attention to it. That you may possess this good land and leave it as an inheritance for your children after you forever. Another picture of the interior there. Again, it looks very small when we look at where we're at now. I've mentioned before you could almost fit that entire upstairs, almost the entire building in the area that we're in now. The downstairs was even a little bit more snug. You teachers that have got nice, comfortable classrooms now have kids that have some space. We have safe bathrooms. We have handicap accessible areas for people to get to. All those things were why we planned this building. But there was the plan. Remember that not too long ago? I had another picture there. It was just the signs before we even had this. How many years, members that were a part of this plan, how many years did we plan on this? I remember being in business meetings most of the time I've been a member here about hopes to get this. There were members involved with making this happen. There were builders that are family members of people to make this building happen. But how does the world see the Church of Christ here? When they look at that, what if our plans had never materialized? What if our plans, our hopes, and our dreams for a bigger building to better serve the community, to better serve our needs, never happened? The songs Glendon sang today was about faith. It was about trust. It was about not being discouraged. And I think the invitation song is along the same lines. So this image especially I wanted you to think about. A driveway to nowhere. A parking lot that's empty. Continuing on. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father. That doesn't mean be familiar with him. He says know the God of your father. And serve him. Who is he talking about? The God of your father. Who is that? That's the God of David. Serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intents of the thoughts. One of the questions Kyle had from our Hebrew study there, was, I don't think we've got to it yet, was, well, maybe we have, was about the severing, the double-edged sword. How much can it cut? This is exactly the same type of language that is used there. God knows what we have in mind. God knows what we're doing. He knows what our plans are even before they're fulfilled. And David continues, if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, again, that caveat, don't forsake God, he will cast you off forever. So what's the options? Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Past, present, and future. Consider now. Present. At that moment, David was talking to Solomon and saying, this is up to you. You have the reins. I've prepared it for you. God will be with you. He's allowed this. Do it. And it says that. Be strong and do it. Again, spiritual application. That is the lesson to us today. Be strong and do it. Have plans for the Lord and do it. Don't just get by on, again, what Kyle talked about in class today. Don't be taking the cup of milk and going, oh, this is so good. I'm going to sleep. Stop doing that. Get to the meat. Me too. Okay, so the last picture we saw, just this lot. Here we see the foundations poured, and now I want to start making some thoughts that don't necessarily have it in the text and passages there. But this foundation has been poured. I ask a Christian, what's the foundation of the church? Hopefully all of you will say the foundation of the church is Christ. What's the second foundation, if you want to use that? The second foundation is the apostles and the prophets. Again, looking back into the past, how do we get to where we are today? God, Christ, prophets, apostles, us today. Where are we building? The New Testament says in a number of places, today we are stones. We're going to get into some of those passages in the second lesson. I guess you could say the stones of today are these masonry blocks. What are we building up on top of this foundation? The people of the world look at this space. And they say, okay, they're building something. What's it going to be? They look at our lives and they say, spiritually, what are you trying to be? You look like somebody that's just like me, no different. Is that really what they see? Or do they see something different, something peculiar? The next picture, if it will come up. Maybe they saw that. When we had the last picture there, they just had the foundation, none of the blocks. Okay, now there are stones being assembled on there. I think all of us were looking forward to this, seeing this progression of this building going up and saying, this is really coming together. It's finally happening. I know us in the business meeting were very excited because we could finally stop talking about things and we were getting things done. Unfortunately, without eldership, there's a lot of weight and a lot of responsibility on us. We take that very seriously. We had talks yesterday, very serious talks about things that we wanted to make sure that our role in trying to help the congregation look forward to the future while in the present doesn't get into any problem that we've seen in the past. Again, all these things keep coming into play. So we're building this foundation. It's not just a foundation that was built on a plan. We're going to get into some of the plans that David had for the temple and how explicit it is. Well, these plans had to be followed here, otherwise it didn't work out like we had it. Another picture. What's off in the distance there? What are they seeing? What's coming together? What do they know about? Continuing on, verses 11 through 13. Then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the vestibule, the houses, the treasuries, upper chambers, inner chambers, the place of the mercy seat, and the plans for all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, all the chambers of the round, of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries for the dedicated things, also for the divisions of the priests and the Levites, and all the work and the services for the house of the Lord, and for all the articles of service in the house of the Lord. We don't have all the details that David had. It mentions here, and sometimes in Scripture it's very slight how it's mentioned. He says, for all that he had by the Spirit. David was going to, we'll see in just a moment here, that David had very explicit directions, but imparted to him by God, almost in the same light that we see Moses accepting the law from God. So we talked about all those directions. We talked about all the treasuries and things. We don't have treasuries here. But just like the temple had rooms dedicated for different things, rooms set as a design by God to David, passed on to Solomon, we had all these things planned. The plans that we worked on, the plans that we revised, the plans we edited for bathrooms, for classrooms, for rooms, for audio systems, all these things. Again, we're talking physical, but the point we're going to show is that plans and implementation are key to a physical building, but also to the lives of each one of us spiritually. Mike and his company did a great deal for us. But we could have just asked him, "Hey, Mike, don't worry about these plans. I want you to kind of come in and throw some lumber together and hope it goes well." Well, he may have run out of lumber. He may not have had enough. He may have started like a building. The place that we go to camp each year, there's a building that they have for us that we sleep into. And they tried to do it, I think, without some plans. And when you walk down that wall, it starts off straight and eventually it starts doing this. Well, and most likely, the case was somebody didn't have a solid plan or somebody didn't stick to that plan. And secondarily, somebody probably didn't check those plans. We needed to check plans, and we need to check plans in our own lives. Continuing on, he gave gold by weight of the things of gold for the articles used of every kind of service, also for the silver articles. This basically just over and over again talking about everything was in detail. Everything that was needed for the house of God, and we're not just talking the house of God, the implements, the things that were inside the house of God were so important, they were itemized. Christians are just like this too. God tells us what we need to be, but he also talks about faith and kindness and love and mercy and all the things that show all the elements in a similar way of what a Christian needs to do to have themselves presentable like this. So, that was probably one of my favorite pictures. I still get scared when I look at that scaffolding with ladders on top of it. And I'm thankful that in the past we didn't have any injured people here. This was not a very big building. There's other buildings that are even taller. But again, plans being followed, being detailed. People don't like people to come in and do verifications, to have come out and do inspections. But the inspector's job is to make sure that the plan you provided them is going where it's supposed to go. And so that's why we did here. Continuing on, again, basins, pitchers, golden bowls, silver, so many things. And for the construction of the chariot, that is the gold cherubim, over and over. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me all the works of these plans. Did David have a plan? Yes, he did. Did God give his authority to it? Yes, he did. And it was implemented. And we know from what we hear, there was never, as we see later, when the children of Israel, the temple's destroyed, and those people that remember it, remember how great it was. When they tried to rebuild it, they cried. They cried because it wasn't even comparable to what Solomon built. In verses 20 through 21, and David said to his son Solomon, be strong and of good courage and do it. Like we talked about earlier, do not fear or be dismayed. What's one of the problems for us as Christians that sometimes causes us difficulty in accomplishing the plans that God has for us? Accomplishing God's will. Isn't it fear and just being dismayed? I keep facing people in my life that just don't like to hear about you. Trying to live a Christian example in front of other people is so hard. It just doesn't make me feel happy. And that's what I want. Do you really? Or do you want to have the reward that you get? Do not fear or be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, David says to Solomon, will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. That same thing is true for us. If we are working for God, He will never leave us or forsake us until we have finished all that work. And that end point is death in this life. Here are the divisions of the priests and the Levites, and it goes on, talks about all these willing craftsmen and how things will be separated into the different parts and roles. So we start seeing the fruition of this building. We've gone from an empty lot to having a foundation poured, to having the foundation built, to having walls come up. And now we've got drywall on there already. Every time we'd stop in here, it was looking so good. So many people were involved with this project. Not just builders, but members here making this happen. Continuing on, building. In 1 Kings chapter 6, 37, it says, "In the fourth year, the foundation of the Lord was laid, in the month of Ziv. And in the 11th year, in the month of Bul, which is the 8th month, the house was finished in all its details, according to all its plans. So he was 7 years in building it." And then finally, that first Sunday that we came together, I think it was a cold January, like the 10th of January, we came into this building and we had a place, a new place of worship. We also had concern that were people at the other building not knowing where we were at, right? This was the building. This was the fruition of our labor. Again, we're talking physical, but it was a manifestation of plans, past, present, and future. In the past, all these plans were made for that building that was at 95 South 3rd Street. Today, at that moment, a couple years ago, the present was this new building, a new place of worship, a new starting point, a new place of growth for the Church of Christ here in Waynesville. And then this idea has come to me many times for many lessons, and I just offer this question to all of us. All this work that we talked about and for building these buildings, not just this one, but the other building too, maybe you're from other congregations that you've been involved with the work there in building buildings. I was part of Kettering's expansion. Northridge is pretty much was always the same when I was there. But it doesn't matter where we've worshipped, where we attend now. This question I ask, what does this work, the money and effort, accomplish for the lost? When people are at their houses behind us, or they're driving down the road, or maybe they're visiting the cemetery, they're heading to the lake, or they're going to a Waynesville celebration, and they drive by our building and they see that sign, or they see this building, what songs do they hear? What prayers do they hear offered? What lessons are they taught from the pulpit or in class? Driving by, they don't hear any of that. That is up to us. This building is a place where we come together, we coalesce, we lift each other up, we encourage each other and say, hey, this is a difficult thing, but here, we are saved. Here, God has given us the ability to pull together. We have visitors that have all come with us, some from many from distant states, all of us from different backgrounds. We are a team of Christians in Waynesville. But nobody out there hears that unless we take it to them. And so this lesson and the next lesson are going to talk about that. This is a very special place to me. It's a special place to all of us. It is taking a lot of time and money to build. But this does not have anything to do with the gospel's success. This is a place for us to come together. But each one of us are workmen for the Lord. And that is up to us to get out and let people know that. I need to know that. You need to know that. And we need to plan for that. Please be patient with my clicker. So in the next lesson, we're going to talk about some things that we can do to make that happen. Some things we're going to look at some of the same pictures we looked at in this first lesson, but how we can be best prepared. I appreciate everyone for being out here today. I pray that each one of you have had something stick in your brain, maybe about this building, about your life, about the future, that helps you to be thinking about how I can be better prepared going forward. That's all I have for you. If there's anything that we can assist you with, please let that be known as we stand and sing.